Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I am your nice, cool, refreshing host and your hot, fiery host, Danny. How are ya?
I'm pretty good, random dude that didn't say his name. You're so waiting to get to that punchline of of knocking me because I live in pretty much Arizona adjacent with the temperature that it is currently.
Exactly. I just figured everybody knew who I was already, so it didn't matter. I'm popular.
Or everybody that matters. Like your parents already know who you are, so you don't need to announce yourself to them every week.
That is true. And I just couldn't wait. I was just trying to think of a quick intro, and I immediately jumped on the 35-degree difference between Ohio and California right now.
Actually, the pictures we exchanged, it was 39. Don't you don't need to round that down, dude. You can just round it up to 40 and know that it's miserable out here.
Yes, exactly. Just like I was telling you before the show, when I go back out tonight, I probably should have put some pants and shoes on because it is getting a little cold.
You should at least bring a sweater. I wouldn't want you to catch, you know, a cold, an ironic cold.
Exactly.
A well-deserved ironic cold.
I'll send you some sunny tan lotion for your head.
I think I need like SPF 400 for that shit. But no, I mean, like, when I left for work at 2 o'clock this morning, it was still hotter than the high probably where you live today. So yay for that. And then I get to go into the warehouse where, you know, even though, you know, it's moderate, it feels really nice outside once you've been in the warehouse for a few minutes, only because it's still like over 100 degrees. Like the shift that was supposed to end before my shift starts was still working, and the supervisors were just standing there watching people work sweating.
Jeez.
it's just miserable, man. Like,
it really is.
I don't want to live in Arizona. I want to live in California, man. It was nice for a couple weeks. Like the it got down to like the low 60s at night, like 64, 62. But then, you know, of course you had people bringing in jackets and complaining that it was cold, and everyone was just like, you know what, shut up. It's going to get hot again, and you're going to be the first one to complain that it's hot. You can't get both.
Yeah. See, Danny, this is why you're not supposed to put on your sweater and complain about the weather. You're already complaining that it's hot.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't have wore that sweater to work today. I mean, it was 90, so that sweater was unnecessary.
You just put it on, and you're just like, the sweater's like, come on, man, you're wasting everybody's time here.
Like, well, if I'm going to be miserable, I might as well at least be wearing a cool sweater while I'm miserable.
Might as well try to look good, right?
Yeah, or I could be like one of those cool kids that wear beanies 365 days of the year, no matter where they're going or what the weather outside is.
That is also fair.
You know, I could be like Steve Buscemi from one of the Adam Sandler movies where he's like, hey, fellow kids.
Fellow kids. That is definitely true.
I mean, I could wear the beanie. I don't think I can get away with wearing like the chick pants.
No. Nobody wants to see that from you, Danny. Please, don't do it.
Not even my wife. And she's moderately accepted seeing me naked occasionally, and she doesn't even want to see me in skater-style chick pants.
That might be the line that might be the final straw that breaks her back, huh?
Yes, that might be the red flag that we need to go into counseling before we possibly get divorced.
Exactly.
And we show up, the therapist is like, well, what seems to be the problem? Is there like a communication? Are you guys just arguing over? What are you guys arguing over? Is it infidelity? Is it money? And it's like, he's a 40-year-old man wearing a emo skater girl pants. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, if you need a character witness in the divorce, ma'am, I got your back.
Exactly.
I'll get you whatever you want from him.
I recommend this couple breakup. There's no need for this.
There's no saving this one right here at all. Matter of fact, I know a divorce attorney that will cover your fees pro bono.
Exactly.
let's just do the world a favor and end it.
Oh man. So it seems to be a pretty solid week full of anime this week. 2 weeks ago, I actually started a anime. Not a new one. I'm sure a lot of people have watched this one, but Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. And when everybody told me this show would be sad, like, I saw snippets of it, and I saw one of the most sad things about the story, and I'm not going to spoil it for those, because it's just too much of a heartache to say. But man, this show is such a roller coaster, and the fact that I'm 14 episodes in, I got like another 60 to go before the end. Like, I don't know if my heart can take this abuse.
Well, I mean, at least you know you don't have psychopathic tendencies, because, you know, if you just sat there and watched it emotionless, then maybe we'd have to worry about you.
Please, people, don't worry about me. So
you have the feels?
I have the feels. I caught the feels. It's okay to catch the feels. I'm referencing that terrible pop song that's out there now, of course, so just so everybody can think a little bit less of me.
Yeah, way to try to gain the side of your fellow kids there, Sean.
Exactly.
But shut up, old man. You don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. So the thing, Danny, is, and I'll ask you, like, this is the first series of, like, an 80-episode journey I've been trying to take, because most of the stuff that we watch, it's, like, 12 episodes, 20 episodes per season. Man, this is, like, a journey. I don't know how I feel about, I almost like the 12-episode breaks, but I mean, it is nice that it's, like, all out there and it's a full 80-episode run.
Right, I mean, if you can binge it, I guess, and you have the time with your strenuous 3-day work schedule, I'd say I'd swing it, but, you know, it's pretty hard to get committed to something that's been out for a while. It's like trying to watch, you know, like Fairy Tale or something like that that's been out, that, you know, they have 18 seasons and 100 and something episodes, man. You gotta catch up, man. That's a commitment.
It is. I feel like it'll be such an accomplishment when I finally overcome this. And I, to be honest, when we talk about our scale of watchability, I mean, it's definitely entertaining, and it definitely, like, keeps you looped. So it's definitely worth the time. And the fact that you know that it's already ended and the story is complete, like, it gives you, like, there's no false hope. Like, it's not like One Piece where it's like 400 episodes and they keep making episodes to where you're like, well, I'll never catch up to that.
Right. You at least there's a goal. It's like running a marathon. You know, I mean, it's 26.2 miles is a long way to run, but at least you know that there's a finish line somewhere, versus someone just like, keep running and we'll tell you when to stop. Now? No, just keep running. How far have I run? I don't know. No one's keeping track. Just keep running. it's like that Stephen King book that called The Long Walk, where basically, you know, people can't afford food. It's almost like The Hunger Games, but instead of killing each other, they just have to keep walking. Yeah. And basically, you have to walk like 3 miles an hour. You keep up a 3-mile-an-hour pace nonstop until you're the last one walking. So you don't know how far you're going to walk. You just know you're going to walk until everybody else is dead. That sounds like watching an anime that's still ongoing and has over 100 episodes. You just at the end, one of you is going to be dead. You just don't know how far into it you're going to make it.
Until one of you die. It is true. So it is it's definitely a darker anime than all my fun-loving harem ones. So I think if you're definitely looking for it, I think it's worth the time so far. I think you just need to make sure, you know, like, you have a few weeks to watch this, especially if you're not a power binger, because, you know, it's gonna go through, and you can't really, well, hopefully you have feelings, because you're gonna definitely come across those feelings while watching this anime, but it's definitely got two thumbs up for me, and it's definitely worth a watch.
Yeah, you definitely can't leave your feelings at home when you watch it. You have to bring them with you and make sure they're easily accessible. Maybe even bring some Kleenex.
Yeah, you'll be purposely hurting your feels during this journey.
I'm not crying. You're crying. Shut up. I was going to say, were you constantly asking other people, is somebody cutting onions in here? Because my eyes are watering, and I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like, it's just kind of like, it's like a roller coaster. You're like feet going up the train, and everything's all good, and then all of a sudden you're down, and then you kind of start climbing up another hill, and you're feeling safe again, and then just boom, another bottom out, and you're just like, when will this end? I can't handle this.
It's like a roller coaster where at the bottom of every hill, somebody that you want to live dies.
Pretty much.
So it's like if George R. R. Martin wrote An Anime.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically the same thing.
Well, that definitely, if you are looking for a show to watch that is a long-term commitment, that definitely sounds like a positive recommendation there.
Yeah, it definitely is.
But if you're looking for something that's a little bit more short-term, I guess, there's a couple new animes that are coming out per episodes, an episode per week this season that we've been watching, or at least I've been watching. One of them is called Gamers.
Yep, I've been watching this one too, Danny. And the best thing about Gamers is it has some awesome cutscenes, like where like the main character will think of something, and it has a lot of video game reference on the different things that are going on, and so it's really fun. So I started watching it again this morning. And Danny, how many episodes are you in on this one?
I haven't watched the newest episode yet. I went to watch it before we recorded. I thought I would have time, but for whatever reason, VRV wasn't loading on my PlayStation.
Yeah.
So I'm one episode behind.
Gotcha. So I don't remember which episode I left off on. I'm close to the latest one. But it's really changed from, like, the intro. And I don't know how much I like how it's changed over the course of the beginning, the first four, to the second four episodes. It's starting to get a little just too high school drama for me.
Yeah, but even then, like, the way the characters are dealing with it, like, there's two characters that hate each other, a guy and a girl that hate each other, but they've been, you know, doing stuff like helping each other in a game secretly. And there's a guy that's kind of mediating, a popular guy that sees a lot of himself and the nerdy guy, because he was a nerdy video game player before he decided to put away childish things.
Yes.
And become popular. And there's just his frustration at their attitudes, the way they argue about the games is just hilarious. Just like, you know, he has nervous breakdowns in public and everyone's just looking at him, and he's like, when he realizes, like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to do that. It's just, I know, I mean, it's definitely different from the beginning when it was more, like, actually based on, like, the initial premise was this guy's a gamer, and the popular girl in school hits him up at a game store and asks if he wants to join the gamers club at the school that she's kind of put together. And so he gets all excited because, you know, she's hot and he's a nerd, and so he shows up thinking, and then there's another dude there, and first he's upset, he's like, wait, I'm not the only one she asked? And so they go in, and he realizes that he just kind of wants to play games for fun. He doesn't want to get super competitive. But so basically, the whole show is her trying to convince him to join the club from that point on.
Exactly. And so it was super funny, because he's like trying to figure out how to talk to girls and stuff, and so it was pretty lighthearted. But I don't know, it's just gotten a little too dicey, and I'm hoping that I'm going to continue on because, you know, I'm already invested, like, in over half the season already, so there's no reason to turn back. But, man, I hope they settle it very quickly and get back to more of the lighthearted jokes versus this high school drama shit.
Right, and even, like, the fourth episode, you know, because the third episode ends on a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth episode is the fillerest filler of a show I've ever seen from any anime ever. Like, it's like a flashback type episode that just takes place at some random point during the story that we've already watched from the point of view of the popular girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But even then, it was a great episode. Like, it was like how it starts off with her day waking up, you know, like going to school, getting dressed. Getting home from school and like doing her homework and then playing video games a little bit and then, you know, doing all this stuff, like everything timed and structured. And then it shows what her day is really like, and it's nothing like that.
Like after she started talking to the guy.
Yes. It was like, yeah, it was like the before and after, and it was just, it was pretty funny. And so then, you know, that episode ends, and then the fifth episode, and it picks off exactly at the end of episode three. So, you know, that, they didn't even like address the cliffhanger. Like they didn't even acknowledge that there were three episodes beforehand other than the basic plot of the fourth episode. But still, it was like, as I'm watching, I'm like, this is just a filler episode. I don't need to watch it. Wait, I'm still watching it. Okay, this is good. All right, it's good. It's funny.
Yeah, no, I think the intro is really fun. The outro is fun. And like I said, I think my favorite part are just like the different references of all the games that they tie it into. Make it pretty fun.
Right, and then, you know, like at one point they go to an arcade and they play the Persona 4 fighting game.
Yeah. They actually spent some money to get some rights on one of those.
It's an actual game, because there's other games that they play that are just like, you know, generic named games or random, no license needed games, like the coin type games or ticket type games. But yes. Now either they did a collaboration and promoed Persona 4 Fighting, or they paid a little bit of money and they got it. But either way, it was a nice touch to actually have a real game in there.
Yeah, my favorite thing is the PZ4. Instead of the PS4, it's the PZ. So
yes.
I do like that little hint.
The PlayStation 4?
Yeah. Oh, man.
It's not quite... It's subtle enough to where they won't get sued, but it's not subtle enough to where people won't be confused.
Exactly.
It's like in TV shows when they have a Mac laptop or computer or whatever, and they just have a random different fruit on the back instead of the apple. So like iCarly had a pear, and I've seen one with a banana. So definitely an interesting touch. And then the other one that's about the same point of the season, they have the same episodes, Classroom of the Elite.
Yeah, I haven't seen this one yet, so I haven't had a chance to get to it. I think my extra anime time has been going to Brotherhood right now.
This is definitely worth a watch. It's a little more serious of a school-style anime than Gamers. It's not harem-y. Basically, these kids are going to this high school that's on an island, and they're not allowed to leave the school. Everything that they need is there. There's a movie theater, there's a mall, there's restaurants. And then the way they have money is based on their performance. You know, they get points from the school that spends like money. And so the very first day of school, they get 100,000 credits to last them for the month. And so the kids just go crazy. And so, they show them at the store and at the different stores buying all this stuff, and they see like tables where it's like stuff for free, and it's like just basic cheap crap that, and they're like, well, why would there be free stuff if we get all this money all the time? And so everyone's like, yeah, we get $100,000 a month. And they did the math, and it was some crazy, like in the millions of dollars a month basically for all the kids at the school. So like, you know, the first day of school, the kids are, you know, some of the kids are like talking and text, a couple of them are texting, and then, but the teacher's not saying anything. And so, you know, the kids think that there's no, basically they can do whatever they want. But, you know, on the very first day, the teacher told them that the points that they get would be based on their performance. And so basically like they're in class D. So there's an A, B, C, and D class. So they're the basically the rejects of the school. And they have to, you know, gain honor and points through their performance to try to overtake the other classes. And there's just inter-school drama, inter-class drama. Of course, there's the standard, you know, the guy that is class president, his younger sister is in the D class as a way to toughen her up, kind of a thing. And the main character, like he's very reminiscent of the hero in Sword Art Online. Did you ever watch that?
No, I didn't.
A lot of people didn't like him because he was kind of just... He wasn't very, like... personable. Like, he was just there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and, like, there was a lot of things he would do, but necessarily wouldn't have a reason. And so, in the show, they keep bringing up the fact that his entry exam into the school, he got, on the all, on each category, he had got exactly 50%. And the first exam he got, he took the class as it took, and that they got, he got exactly a 50%. And so he just keeps saying that he just wants to go to school and be left alone. But, you know, he gets involved with different things, but always gives other people, like not even gives other people the credit, but like tells other people that the other person did it.
Yeah.
Like, he gives the credit away. Like, he's like, oh yeah, I didn't do it. They did it. That was all them. So they're kind of, the last episode ended where the teacher of the class told the student, Body's sister, you know, he's kind of an interesting thing. Everyone's kind of keep watching him. Why would he only get 50? Why is he, you know, it takes a lot of skill to act like you have no skill.
Yeah.
And so it's just, so I'm kind of curious just to see what his end game is, why he's, you know, there's moments where, like, the student body president tries to punch him and he dodges it, and a few other, you know, tries to attack him. Basically, he dodges every attack, and the guy's like, did you do any fight training? He's like, oh, no, I just, you know, I played piano and did calligraphy.
Yeah.
This was his response.
See, and I think that sounds actually pretty interesting, because I love, like, the secret kind of past thing with some of these main characters. Like, they're not, people aren't supposed to know, like, where they came from and whatnot. Like, he's definitely, like, somebody that should be in the A class, but for whatever reason, he's in the D class just trying to, like, hide.
Right, and that was kind of the same thing with the main character in Sword Art Online. You know, he was a solo player and just was one of the frontline raiders, and was always, but he would always go back down to the bottom, to the lower levels, and help people out. Because, you know, basically, in that show, if you died in the game, you died in real life. So he was trying to help as many people as possible from getting taken advantage of by more powerful people that just wanted to be bullies or whatever. So anytime he'd hear of somebody being taken advantage of or somebody just generally, you know, jackassery, he would go and deal with it and then go back to the raiding scene. So
yeah,
that's another way he feels like this, is that he's intentionally holding himself back into the D class. But to what end? Is he trying to fight the system that is the school, or is he just not care and just wants to get through life and, you know, not really bother with anything, attention or whatever?
No, exactly. Makes sense.
And then I finished watching the first season of a show called A Certain Scientific Railgun. And this one is another high school-based anime. Pretty much an all-female cast. They go to this city in Tokyo where they, and these schools, because they, people have powers, and so these schools help them to learn how to use their powers. And so they have the police system is like basically a subset of the girls in this school that have been trained called Justice. And they wear little green armbands, and they go through the town and, you know, dispense justice.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but the main character, she's not part of Justice, but she's like the most powerful one so far. And basically, she can generate and control electricity, and then she can take any metal object and fire it like a railgun. So that's nice. Where she gets her nickname from. And so there's a couple parts where, and her roommate is part of Justice, and she can teleport. And there's been a couple things where, like, they go to take them on. Some, like, a group of people go to take them on, and then one girl teleports. And they're like, wait, isn't there a girl that can teleport that's always hanging around with? And they kind of look at the friend, and they're like, oh, shit, she's the railgun, isn't she?
Nice.
But, you know, it's this one's a little funny in that even without there being any dudes, there's still some, like, there's a couple of the characters that are, taking the place of the dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's two sets of friends, and they're roommates, but they go to different schools. And so the main character that the show's named after, her and her friend that's in Justice, the girl that's in Justice is, like, in love with her. And there's even an episode where, like, the railgun wakes up in the middle of the night to sneak out, and her roommate's, like, basically dry-humping her teddy bear, and like, oh, she calls her Sissy. So, oh, Sissy, I can't believe you're doing this to me, Sissy. You're being so rough.
Oh, jeez. Just when I thought the show wasn't going to have any pervy to it.
I know. This is the perviest of the four, I'm sure, by far. But it's moments. It's not like it takes over. It's just, I guess, more there for levity than for being a plot of the story. Because basically, the one that's in love will jump on her, do something, and then she'll get shocked. And then the other two, they'll be walking around, and the one girl will like just reach over and like lift up her skirt, and it's like, oh, you're wearing your polka dot underwear, your purple and blue polka dot underwear today. You're wearing your pink and white striped underwear today. It's like, stop doing that in public, you know? And it's like, why do you do that? It's like, well, I just want to make sure you're wearing underwear, because sometimes people leave the house and they forget. And the girl's like, wait, if I wasn't wearing underwear, like, would that make it better or worse? I'm confused. Like, what's the point of you doing this?
Yeah.
But the hardest part for me, at least on this show, was that the first season was 24 episodes.
Oh, wow.
And it definitely feels like it could have been cut down into two 12 episodes seasons. Like, there's all the AMC shows, like The Walking Dead and all those things, and, you know, shows that have done in the past where they have that huge mid-season finale and then, like, a month or two or three break, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's, like, the story builds up, and then there's a point where everything hits the fan, and then there's a resolution. And then it kind of starts building up again. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that point should have been the end of the first season. And I'm guessing they kept it all as one season because it all kind of ties back into, like, it's all tied together. All the characters from the first half of the season are kind of involved at the end of the second half of the season. But it still, I think, would have, at least for me, would have worked better pacing-wise, even if it would have been two separate seasons, because, you know, you don't really expect it to kind of die off as quickly as it did for a second half of a season versus if it was the first part of a new season, you know?
Yeah, I got you.
Introducing new characters and introducing new storylines and stuff like that, so...
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you know, it's not 80 I mean, there's two 24-episode seasons, so it's not quite the 80 episodes, but some of the action scenes are pretty good. The characters are just, I don't know, I kind of found them interesting. You know, if you make it through, like, I'd say give it, like, 5 or 6 episodes, and you just kind of don't really care about the characters and or the story, then don't continue, because that's pretty much the main point is, you know, just the character interactions and just their... the differences between the people that have powers and don't and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
You know, like this, a couple days ago, I watched the movie Why Him.
Mm-hmm. So why him?
You know, well, because it's James Franco playing an internet millionaire. That's why.
Fair enough.
You know, like, you know, I saw the trailers, and as I'm getting, the movie came from Netflix, I still kind of wasn't sure why I wanted to watch it, but there was just I just wanted to see what the movie was about, you know, because the trailers just showed a bunch of, you know, basically dick jokes and fart jokes kind of thing, you know what I'm saying? So I'm like, there has to be more to this movie than that, because Bryan Cranston's in it, and there's a few other, you know, respectable actors in it. I'm not really necessarily sure if I wanted to include James Franco in that. And, you know, Jonah Hill was one of the writers of the screenplay. And so, you know, this movie is like the Lego movie of dick and fart jokes, man. Like the first 50 to 60% of this movie is just Bryan Cranston and Franco just having a kind of a battle of fruition, basically trying to win over the daughter/girlfriend's opinion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And attrition, that's the word I was looking for. Drunk brain fart. But anyways, a battle of attrition. But and then at some point it gets a little serious and you get the feels. A la the Lego movie. And you know, they come to realize that, you know, the daughter is a human being and has her own opinions, and she can basically choose what she wants to do with her life, whether or not it makes anybody happy or not. And then, yay, feminism wins.
So big setup, and then just kind of random feels at the end.
Right, random feels, random feminism. Like, it went from, you know, there's a scene where, like, the brothers, they're, and him, James Franco, were talking about, you know, Game of Thrones, making the boobs and dragons reference. So they're, like, you know, breathing fire and motorboating the titties whenever they talk about boobs and dragons.
Jeez. Fair enough.
And then, you know, there's a scene, of course, you know, where they have a, there's a bidet, but of course the guy doesn't know how to use it. And then you discover that there's a vaginal wash option, which does more than just wash the vagina, which the mom discovers later on in the movie as being something that she wouldn't mind having in her own home.
Of course not.
So, I mean, it's almost 2 hours long. It could have been a little bit shorter, but there was a lot of funny stuff in the movie. I still kind of not really sure why I watched it. I think I just took one for the team.
I'm glad you did that. You're useful every once in a while.
I have my moments. I can jump on that grenade, so you don't have to.
Exactly.
But, you know, as I was watching it, I was kind of thinking of two things. One was, you know, that trailer just definitely did not do what the movie was about, you know. And you often see that with trailers where you don't even know who cut the trailer. It's not the director. Or it's like the studio just hired some dude that has no idea what the movie's about, and he just picks the funniest scenes or the action scenes or whatever, whether or not they completely, you know, spoil the movie or not. Like, hey, this scene looks really cool. And it's like, dude, that's literally in the last 30 seconds of the movie. Ah, too late. It looked cool and it's in the trailer. We've already shipped it.
That's funny.
And then the other thing was, and that's kind of what Railgun had me thinking about it too, was, you know, a lot of times when I go to, you know, review a movie on Netflix, I'll look through and see what some of the 1 and 2 stars are, the people that gave it bad reviews. And it's just amazing how many people give up on movies so quickly and for the dumbest of reasons.
Yeah. It's always fun to go back and look through some of those old reviews and see what people come up with.
Right, because it's like, yeah, I watched this movie for like, I watched the first 10 minutes of the movie and I had no idea who the main character was or what this movie was about, so I took it out and returned it. Don't bother wasting your time. And it's like, wait, you only gave it 10 minutes? Like, a lot of movies don't even have the title screen up in the first 10 minutes of the movie. Why are you already expecting to know everything in the movie? And if you don't, you're giving up. Or are you just that used to watching Michael Bay movies that you already figured out the whole plot in the first 10 minutes of the movie?
I don't know what they expected.
But yeah, just, you know, there's a joke from George Carlin talking about, you know, just think about how dumb the average person is and just know that a large, like, it, almost half of the population is dumber than them.
Very true.
So when I see those Netflix reviews, I'm like, I think about all those times that, you know, you hear directors that when the studio did a test screening and then they get the opinions back from the people in the audience and then they have to change major plot points or rewrite the ending because it was too sad or because they didn't understand how it ended. You understand that that's a legit real thing that happens after reading the sad 1-star and 2-star Netflix reviews.
Yeah.
The best ones are the ones that take a movie and it's like they try to make it super political. Oh, this is just another hack movie made by Holly Weird and their liberal collusion out there just trying to make the rest of America look bad. And it's like, dude, it's a movie about a runaway train. Like, where did you get that from? They're against big coal and coal used to run trains. That's where.
Jeez.
Oh man, just never underestimate the power of stupid people in large groups or anonymously on the internet.
Yeah, pretty much. It's just people just can't hang.
Yeah, so on this weekend, I made my wife earn my love again. She was my driver to her Miss Daisy.
So I went on basically, she had to deal with your drunk ass and drive you around.
Exactly. She was my we were both DDing at that day. She was a designated driver and I was a designated drinker. It took me a few beers to come up with that one. I don't know if I should be proud of that I was drunk and came up with that, or that I should be embarrassed that I just came up with that at all. And I'm leaning towards a little bit of both. Why not both?
Why not both? You know, so somebody has to deal with your shit. I'm glad it's not
exactly.
Me.
Well, you only have to do it occasionally. She has to do it every day.
Yeah.
Except for that week that she's kicking me out of the house and making me go to your place.
That is true.
But the first place we went to was one of our favorite local breweries, Wick's. They had a special can release for
Buddha.
A fundraiser for the fallen families of fallen police officers that died in the line of duty. And so this one was called Jacob's Happy Ass Stout. It's a white stout with coffee and chocolate. And so basically, you know, I went there. I was originally going to eat, but we wouldn't have enough time to get to step two if I would have eaten.
Yeah.
So I just went in there, got a couple 4-packs, and tried a pint of it. And I don't know. I guess I didn't really do too much research to know the difference, but apparently the only thing that really made it seem different than the Ballast Point's Calm Before the Storm, I guess, would be the brewing process.
Hmm.
Because it looked and kind of tasted very similar to that, but they called it a white stout instead of a cream ale. So I guess it's just basically the brewing process, more barley forward or wheat forward as opposed to hops.
That's kind of weird that it's two different beers, but it almost tastes exactly the same.
Right. I mean, but that's, to me, that's a compliment. I don't know how they feel, but it was really good. And the reason why it was called Happy Ass Stout was because he was in addition to being a police officer, he was a home brewer, and so his home brewery setup was called Happy Ass Brewing.
not a bad ring to that one. I like it.
And so apparently it's up for grabs because the dude that owned it is dead now. So if you like it, you can have it. Apparently, I don't know if it's too soon yet, but you might want to
wait. Probably too soon. Too soon.
And you know, like, whoa, you think I'm the asshole now? You should have saw Jody, like, bless her little heart. They had a booth set up for the organization, the police organization, selling T-shirts and a couple other things to raise money.
Yeah.
And they had a paper up that basically had a bio of him, and it had how he died and the date and all this stuff. And so Jody read it and looked over to the lady, and like, as Jody was reading it, she chuckled out loud, and the lady kind of looked at her and said, "Oh, this is actually kind of funny how he died."
Oh my God. You've corrupted her, Danny. Jesus.
So he died he had a heart attack on the way to a call. Mm. And it's to her defense, the weapon they listed a weapon as for the cause of death, right? Mm-hmm. But he had a heart attack, so the weapon was the human body.
All right. Doesn't seem like it was well written. Why couldn't they just say he had a heart attack on the way to a call? Why is that?
They had that. They had that he had a heart attack on the way to the call, and as a result of the heart attack, he ended up like crashing into a tree, but he died from the heart attack. And so, like, just the stuff they put, like, it's one of those things of, it seems like, you know, when you go on a website and they have the blanks that you have to fill in, and there's some that are mandatory and some that are optional.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, you know, that one was either an optional one that they thought was mandatory, or it was mandatory, and so they couldn't think of anything else to put in. So
the weapon that
caused his death was the human body.
That's so poorly. That's poorly written. Somebody should have edited that out.
Exactly.
Somebody fucked up their one job.
So, like, when Jody said it was kind of funny, the lady looked at her, like, mortified. Like, how dare you think that, you know, another human being's death, let alone a police officer's death, that we're here to, like, memorialize was funny. And then I read it, and I saw cause of death, human body. I'm okay. I just turned around and walked away, and I'm like, I don't want her to hate me, too.
If you laugh, too, then you're both getting kicked out.
Exactly. I haven't got my beer yet.
I already paid for this beer. I need it.
I didn't even pay for it. I hadn't even gone inside. This was, like, on the way in the building.
Jeez.
We're going to get banned from Wix before we even step foot in the building that day. It's like, it's like getting fired on your day off.
Who does that? Jeez. Who fucked that up, man? That's so dumb.
So, from now on, whenever I hear somebody died and it's like, oh, they had a heart attack or a stroke or whatever, it's like, ah, oh, the human body struck again. We need to put a 15-day waiting list and a background check on everybody to make sure they, before they can purchase a human body, because apparently that's the number one weapon to cause deaths in America. The human body causes more deaths than cars and guns, airplanes and ships combined.
Yeah, exactly.
We're going to have, like, schools in San Francisco that are human body free zones.
Jeez.
So I ended up picking up two of the four packs there, because one for me and then this one for the second stop on my beer venture, which was to go to a little tap room / restaurant in Pomona called The Rookery, where I was going to meet up with a group of people celebrating an anniversary party for another podcast called Four Brewers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're actually a pretty good podcast. Like, they're, you know, I ended up talking to a couple of the guys, and they're really cool. They, you know, one of them, Jason, he gave me a couple, like, pointers on, you know, just to, you know, getting a podcast off the ground, but...
Tell them we were off the ground? We just can't get anybody to listen.
Yes. I'm like, he's like, I mean, to be fair, like, he doesn't know the show. So I told him we're about 28 episodes in, and he's like, yeah, you know, just make sure your audio quality is good, because if, you know, if I go to listen to a podcast and the audio quality is bad, I stop listening immediately. And I'm like, well, like, we've kind of got the audio quality thing down. Like, you know, we've had to record episodes, you know, three times because the audio quality was bad. Mm-hmm. And so, but I didn't really get a chance to talk to him too much because, like I said, there was, like, you know, a bunch of people
there.
He
wanted to celebrate his party and not fucking talk to you.
Pretty much, yeah. But it was my first time going to a bottle share.
This is sounding a little weird. Especially even for, like, this show.
Go ahead.
I said it sounds a little weird even for this show.
It's less weird than it sounds. It's actually, in theory, is a good idea. It just, there was too many people and too many beers there. So basically, the core idea is everybody brings a beer or two that they think that other people might enjoy. You know, usually you bring, like, beers that are good, but a lot of people just get into the spirit of just trying to whip out their dick and swing it around as fast and hard as they can. The helicopter in front of everybody with their super awesome rare whale beer that they were able to get, but they're benevolent.
Yeah. Here's a beer from 1992 from something that doesn't even exist anymore.
Yes, shit like that. It's like, but I'm benevolent enough to share it with you. Gaze at my benevolence and humility.
Oh.
And so, you know, I brought a couple of the Wicks. I brought the one of the four packs over just because it was, you know, new that day. I didn't think anybody would have a chance to do both, so... You know, it wasn't like I had to drive out of the way. It was pretty much on the way. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, I got there and the guy saw what I had. He's like, oh, yeah, we're competing against them today. I don't know if their little party today is going to hurt the turnout for us.
Mm.
But I don't know if it did or not. I don't know what their normal turnout is, if they've done anything like this before. But they had three full ice chests of beer.
Nice. I would have just looked at them and looked at the other Wix thing and just said, why don't you just tell people not to be a bitch and go to both?
Exactly.
Oh.
And so I get, you know, the day started kind of talking to a couple people, and like, it's like, oh, hey, try, do you want to try this beer? And it's like, I look at it and yeah, that looks pretty cool. So, you know, they got a little taster glass, pour a little bit in, just taste it. And, you know, that's really kind of the point, just to kind of try different beers. So you don't have to open a whole bottle and decide you don't like it or, and then waste it. But then it sucks when you find the one that's especially good and you know that you're never going to be able to buy it. And you're only were able to get that one taster of it.
That one sweet taste.
Yes. But then at some point, like, I had, like, four beers in front of me. And then it just came, it got to the point where about halfway through the day, I was just doing shots of beer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think you're supposed to do that at a beer thing. But either way, I was really, really drunk, and it was really awesome.
Exactly.
And so the culmination of that experience was we got to watch them record a live episode of their podcast.
Nice.
And so there was a point where, you know, they asked if anybody wanted to come up. And so one of their buddies that's been around, like somebody that they knew went up, and they were kind of talking beers for a little bit. And then a little bit later, he was up there for a while, and somebody else went up. They asked for somebody else, and I went to grab my glass to get up, and somebody already stood up and was like pretty much in the chair. And I'm like, told Jody, I'm like, yeah, drunk me was never going to win that reflex battle.
Like, he's been talking for 3 minutes, and Danny stands up. I will go up there. And everybody's just kind of like, what the fuck, man? Somebody get this guy out of here.
Yes, and so the second guy went up. I ended up talking to him a little bit because, you know, I've been very curious about getting a kilt.
Yes.
And so he was rocking one. And he was wearing a shirt to make sure that everyone knew exactly how classy his kilt wearing was. Written on his shirt was, of course I'm not wearing underwear. If I was wearing underwear, it would be a skirt, not a kilt.
Touche, touche.
And so asking him where he got it, and said one of his somebody that he knows makes them. And so he's like, yeah, just hit me up on my Facebook page. The Beer Ambassador of Temecula. And so I got the story of that was basically like he was at one of the breweries down there talking to them, like one of the breweries that he frequents, and he knows them all. So he was down there and he was like, yeah, I'm like the beer ambassador of this place. And the guy's like, whatever. He's like, look, I'm going to make the put that on my social media. I'm going to make a social media account for that. And the guy's like, I dare you. If you do, I'll give you a free beer. So right then and there, he made an official Beer Ambassador of Temecula Facebook page.
Jeez.
But I guess
I just don't even know what to say to that.
I mean, if he gets free stuff out of it, that's amazing because it's his job to promote beer and Temecula. So,
oh,
if anybody out there is curious about the beer happenings in the city of Temecula, just go ahead and give that a like too. Check it out over there on Facebook, the Beer Ambassador of Temecula. He was actually a pretty nice guy. I mean, everybody that I talked to that was really cool. I didn't really run into like any snobby beer people that I was kind of expecting to run into at one of these things that, you know, other people have warned me about. But the four brewers, man, like their style is pretty cool. Like they, one episode that I listened to, they do a blind tasting of the different Mexican beers. So they have some that are national releases like Corona and Tecate, and then they have some microbrew ones. And so they basically, they don't get all like too technical, but they do use some, you know, tasting terms and smelling terms, but they almost do like an explain it like I'm five version of it, where you can kind of follow along and understand what they're saying without being a brewer or being too deep into the beer scene.
Nice. Not too
and terrible. Their reviews seem to be pretty solid. I mean, they're just four dudes that drink beer and want to hang out and talk about their drinking a beer. It's like us, but twice.
With less people and more anime chicks.
Yes. Yeah, you know, yeah, he was asking what the podcast was about. I'm like, yeah, we do beer, but we also do video games and movies and comics and anime and just whatever else that's kind of going on. And he's like, yeah, you know, all that's something that, you know, would sell me on it except for the anime. And I'm like, well, I guess, you know, you might have to just fast forward through some parts or whatever, but that's cool.
And then as you walked away, you're like, we'll never be friends.
I don't know. It's a problem about business.
You just can't rip up somebody a new one because you might need that business someday.
See, I kind of got the feeling the opposite, where I was looking back over my shoulder and it's like, I hope I didn't scare him away with that anime comment because I kind of want to be his friend.
It's okay, Danny. It was never meant to be. You can't trap everybody you meet.
Well, I wasn't dressed as a lady that day, so I definitely wasn't going for a trap that day. Ever since I've grown out my beard, it's a little bit harder to pull off the trap.
Yes, it has, sir.
But, you know, they're all local to me, pretty much. One of the guys actually lives in Riverside, but it was a fun day. So, you know, we ended up leaving there because I didn't want to pay for parking. And I wasn't sure with all the crazy parking signs. I've seen enough parking wars to know what happens when you disregard parking signs.
Yeah.
And so, depending on what time we left and how drunk I was, I'd already told Jody that there was one more stop that I would like to make. And that was at a brewery that I've mentioned to you, Claremont Craft Ales.
Yep.
I've been wanting to check it out. A friend of mine, his dad, runs the farm area at the LA County Fairgrounds, and they work with a bunch of different restaurants and stuff. And so they kind of made up a partnership with Claremont Craft Ales for him to grow some of the different fruits and vegetables for them to brew with their beers. And so I ended up getting a flight there of six beers.
Mm.
And that's one thing that's kind of, I don't know if it's good or bad about this show, but it's definitely getting me to try more beers than I normally would. Like, I don't just go in there and order the stout, like a pint of stout, and, you know, drink it and move on. You know, I actually got a pretty varying degree of beers here.
I'm glad one of us does that.
So I tried their raspberry Gosei wheat ale.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good, moderately low alcohol content at 5%.
Mm-hmm.
And then I tried an IPA called Pepper Peaches that had peaches and pink peppercorns. That was actually pretty good. It was a little, you can taste the sweetness from the peaches, but the little bit of the kick from the pepper.
Mm-hmm.
Weighing in it. No, it was actually really good. Weighing in at a hefty 8.8%.
Oh boy.
You know, and of course I had to get. I saw coffee on the thing, so yeah, two different coffee beers. So one was an IPA coffee.
I wonder how that would have tasted. I don't feel like those are flavors go well with each other.
It's actually basically like a hoppy version of Calm Before the Storm.
Mm.
But that was actually, everything was good. That was a little bit boisterous at 7.1%. Because I know you, and if I ever want to bring you to a place, I have to sell you on this. So I tried their Happy Days. It's an Imperial Red Ale. 9.5% on that one.
Oh boy! How was that bad boy?
Oh, it was actually really good, surprisingly good. It was pretty hoppy, just a solid beer. Like between that one, the Main Street Brewing in Corona, and Packing House, I don't know which one. Like you got options out here, man. I don't think you have to just settle for one brewery anymore to get a good red.
That's good. It's good to know that I could go after many redheads these days.
Yes, the ginger beers are everywhere for you out here.
It's the return of the gingers. The gingers strike back.
I mean, it was a good beer. It didn't really have the soul that some of the other beers here had. And then, I had to try their coffee porter.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another solid good coffee flavor, 7.5%. And the last one I tried was their their barrel aged blend, which I don't know what that is. Like, they just threw the stuff they just scraped the stuff off the floor or whatever, threw it in a bourbon barrel and brewed it with coffee and called it and gave it a number assignment and made a good beer out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Cuz they didn't really describe the blend. They just said barrel aged blend. So maybe it was they had a porter and a stout, so maybe it was a blend of those two, or it could have been the porter and the coffee IPA.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Either way, a solid beer. if you're in town, dude, we kind of talked about hitting that up for when we were out here for Anime Fest Expo. That's it, Anime Expo. But
anime something.
Anime thing that we hated. With all those weebs.
Weeb City.
Yes. You know, it was like, you know, the Michael Jackson Bad video where he got the weebs on one side and the otakus on the other side. Just giving each other the side eye.
Pretty much.
But yeah, I mean, when you're in town and when you get a chance, dude, you need to go out there or take me with you, but it's definitely a brewery that I would go back to, especially if I'm in that area.
Nope, that sounds like a plan.
And then Sunday, I had planned to go to La Bodega because a brewery that I like released a barrel-aged stout with coffee. So I'm like, I'm going to go pick up a bottle of that.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, I ended up picking up two other bottles of beer and a 12-pack.
Yeah, you did.
That I said I wasn't going to pick up. And then I saw, but I've been hearing a lot of good things about it. Like, actually, not even a lot of, but nothing but good things about it. And it was the last one. And so the fact that it was the last one peer pressured me into buying it.
See, kids, this is why you need to have a spine. So you can't fall into this peer pressure trap.
But the beers all said, drink me. We're delicious.
And don't be a slut like Danny with beer.
Yes, exactly. It's all your fault, man. If we hadn't done this podcast, dude, I would have still been like just drinking porters and stouts, and my fridge would be like almost empty.
That's my trick. I don't buy beer, so it's always empty for me. I try not to go to specialized beer places for that reason.
Well, yeah, I mean, when you have to drive like to the four counties over to get to the closest good beer shop. Because of the blue laws, won't let you buy false beer on a Sunday after 2 p.m.
Well, hey, that is not Ohio, even though Ohio's close to probably that stupid ship.
Can you go to the grocery stores and buy beer, or do you have to go leave the grocery store and go to the bottle shop next door to buy beer?
In Pennsylvania, you're only allowed to buy so many ounces, and you can't buy multiple 12-packs.
Yeah, in North Dakota, like the grocery store and don't sell beer. You have to go to the bottle shop that's either right next door or located close by. And even like the at the liquor store, the gas stations that do sell beer, it's all like roped off. It has its own entrance. It has its own cash register. You can't bring anybody who's under 21 in there at all, even, you know, even if it's like your kid. Basically, they'd rather you lock your kid in the car in the heat than bring him into the bottle shop.
Seems legit.
But, you know, there's the 12-pack I bought was Sierra Nevada's Beer Camp.
Oh, I've been betrayed by Sierra Nevada too much. I don't trust them.
See, and that's why I originally didn't buy it. But just reading a lot of the reviews, you know, any of the bad reviews I read were just seemed to be by surly people just wanting to be surly.
Trying to say something.
Not you, just I didn't read any of your reviews on the internet. But, you know, like there was a collaboration with Avery Brewing in Colorado, Eyinger from Germany, Boneyard from Oregon, Duvel from Belgium, Fuller's, a London brewery, Garage Project from New Zealand, Kiyuchi from Japan, McKellar from Denmark, St. Arnold from Texas, Surly from Minneapolis, Minnesota, The Brewery from Placentia, and Treehouse from Mason, Missouri, Montana? I don't know. Whatever MA is. The United States. I don't care.
Massachusetts?
I have no Midwest. Idea. Yeah, I think that's Massachusetts. I haven't got that far into drinking it yet.
So but all those people came up with one beer?
Yeah, well, basically, like, them and Sierra Nevada collaborated on one beer together.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so one of the beer breweries basically, like, Duvel, they had never collaborated with another brewery before, and they've been open for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tried the Fuller's beer, the one from UK, and it's a English-style ale brewed with plums. Then I tried the McKellar, which was a Thai style iced tea. So it's basically black tea, milk sugars, orange peels. Mm-hmm. And I was like, those were both pretty good. You can, you know, definitely taste what they promised. The brewery one that I tried, the brewery one, it was a ale brewed with vanilla, raspberry, and cocoa, so called Raspberry Sundae.
Mm-hmm.
Really didn't taste it at first, but kind of let it sit for a little bit, and the raspberry came through as it kind of got to closer to room temperature.
Yeah.
And the one I'm currently drinking is the Duvel one that had never partnered up with another brewery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a Belgian-style golden. So it's basically like a hoppy shandy, but it's really good.
It has Belgian hops in it?
But you can't taste it. It tastes like a hoppy shandy. I'm telling you, it's a lot better than I thought it would be. And that's kind of why I was like hesitant to buy it originally. But it's actually surprisingly good.
All right. Maybe I'll try it if I see it.
You won't see it. I bought the very last one that they had, like I said, and so it was a very limited release. And the other reason why I didn't want to buy it is because it was like $26 for the 12-pack.
Jesus fucking Christ, that's a lot.
yes it is.
Oh boy. Good on you though, sir. Good on you.
Yes, taking one for the team again.
You're all right. You're all right.
I have my moments. And you know, there's kind of been this weird trend going on with video game developers. There's a couple of them that are just like wanting to make games but wanting to make phone apps, so they're kind of, I guess, making somewhere in between, you know. And so, you know, you have Gwent coming out based on The Witcher.
Yes, I kind of remember playing The Witcher a little bit, and I remember there was a card game.
Yes, so basically the card game in The Witcher is coming out as its own standalone card game.
Nice.
And then Gearbox is coming out with the game. They're calling it 1v1, which they really should just change that. That should be kind of like their in-house publishing name, so they don't spoil the name for the public. But it's supposed to be a first-person shooter with cards somehow. Like they just kind of basically gave some vague details. It's gonna, I guess they want to make it competitive, like an e-sport.
Jeez.
Which, I don't know, man. Like, the first couple Borderlands were pretty good, but then they've come out with some not-so-good games since then, so I don't know if they're just giving up on, like, making real...
Trying to grab whatever they can.
Right, they're making this because it's not going to cost them any money. It's like making... It's like the video game equivalent of making a horror movie, where you can make a horror movie for, like, less than 100 grand, but you'll probably make, like, 3 to 5 million in the box office just because it's a horror movie.
Yeah, I mean, who knows what they're... It's a good question. I mean, honestly, I liked Borderlands 1. I struggled to get through the second one, and I stopped playing the third one, like, after, like, an hour. I just couldn't get into it. I haven't heard anything really that amazing about their PvP game, especially since that got destroyed by Overwatch.
Right. And they, you know, they may have made a couple other games that, didn't do very well either. I was with you right there for Borderlands. I played the shit out of the first one, didn't finish the second one, and I have the prequel sequel. Like I make that reference as far as in referring to other things,
mm-hmm.
calling them prequel sequels as well. I've done that more than I've played the game. It's still sealed in its plastic packaging that it came in.
Yeah,
it's in mint condition.
Nice.
But then the one that really got people's jimmies rustled was Valve said that they're announcing a new game. And it's Half-Life 3. No, it's Left 4 Dead 3. No, it's Half-Life 3. No, it's Left 4 Dead 3. We're just shouting everywhere from all corners of the internet when they announced they're making a new game. And then they come out and said, no, we're going to make a card game based on Dota.
Oh, boy.
So when the game was announced... Dota was like basically inundated with negative reviews on Steam from just butthurt fanboys wanting one of those two trilogy games to be finished. And then it didn't help that a guy that was coming out to be a former employee of Valve said that he had written the Half-Life 3 story, and here's basically what the story would have been, but they're not making the game, and here's why. So he basically spoiled the Half-Life 3 story and said that they're never going to make the game, so get over it, people. Here's the story anyways.
Jesus, what was the reason that they weren't going to make it?
I don't remember. Like, I kind of tried to read it, but it just seemed like the dude was just bitter and just trying to get revenge on Valve than to try to, like, be a customer service, like, doing the people of the internet world a service.
Yeah.
And so...
I mean, I would love a Left 4 Dead 3, though. I mean, the first two were really good.
Right? You know, I don't need any, like, more, like, remasters or, you know, even making it backwards compatible. That's not enough anymore, man. Give us a third one. Because, you know, they can definitely do more with the physics and the zombies and just the environment on the new consoles than they ever could have on the previous generation consoles.
Exactly.
So, but just know that instead of making one of the two games that pretty much, if you ask anybody who is a fan of Valve games, and you ask them, what game would you like them to make next? Pretty much half of them would say Half-Life 3, and the other half would say Left 4 Dead 3. So instead of, you know, making at least 50% of your fans happy, you made 100% of your fans pissed.
Success.
Mission accomplished.
Maybe, like, their developing team is, like, 99% of them are counting money, and then, like, 1% is actually making a game, and this is the only... This is as much money and bandwidth that they were able to make a game with. With a card game.
they gave the dude a tablet and, like, you know, an American Express gift card for $100 and said, here, go make a game.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. No new fun games, only shitty card games coming out from those three people.
Yay. And better news. Destiny 2 comes out next week. Yours faithful will make sure that he stays up on Tuesday night to play it. And I will probably go in with little sleep on my half day at work on Wednesday. Hopefully I'll have some energy for recording on Wednesday. Otherwise, Danny will be driving the show for the next basically 2 months. So hopefully Danny will be resourceful enough to find us topics to talk about more than Destiny.
Yes, because I've been struggling. I've been struggling with finding topics for the whole time we've been doing the show.
I'll have plenty to talk about next time.
Yes, yes you will. I'll talk about how, I guess, awesome it is to, you know, do things with things and shoot things, whatever.
Pew, 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 pew. And sometimes there's a strike. You could play. You could be the Hulk and say no, smash the ground.
Sean Smash. Is that pretty much all you just want to do?
Yes, Sean Smash and pew pew. That's the story of my life for the next couple months.
Yes, it is. Until I come and disrupt it and make you like leave the house.
Oh, God, what a terrible week.
I know.
Just cancel it.
I'm going to save your life, man. I'm going to keep you away from that. I'm going to make sure you're not addicted.
You come into... Oh, man. Hopefully you can figure out where my house is.
thanks to, you know, the modern technology that is the internet, I've already seen your house from the outside.
That's good. Hopefully you can figure out how to get there. You're just going to show people, do you know where this house is?
I just need to get to Toledo, Ohio, and then I can just stand in the middle and yell your name, and I'm sure you'll probably be able to hear me.
I'll just close my blinds. I'll be like, what's that sound? Close the blinds. We can't keep them away.
And then you get a knock on the door. Dude, go get your friend, man. He's keeping the whole city awake.
pretty much. That's how it is.
You don't think it do, but it do. You don't think it be like that, but it do.
Yep, exactly. All right, everybody, that's about it for today. Thank you guys for hanging out with us on another great episode of We Are Adult Show. I am your host, Sean, Danny. It was a nice hanging out with you this afternoon.
It was definitely a good time.
Later, everybody.
Have a good week.